Hi, friends. At the end of the day, I am a musician, so I thought, oh, paper, music stand, that's a good fit for this. So my name's Corinne. I am wife of Dwayne Corbin, who at this point is one of the boxes on the Zoom. He's elsewhere today. And mom of Andrew and Peter Corbin. And I am also a Christian ex-Mormon. So when I put this story together, I gave it the title, Conversion is a Cliff Jump. The longer title, or the .. title, How to Go from Mormonism to Quakerism in 6,237 Easy Unrelated Steps. In Luke 14, Jesus asks a rhetorical question of the crowd about the cost of discipleship. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will you not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and was not able to finish." From the mouth of the Son of God, an illustration and object lesson in budgeting and faith, all rolled up into one neat and tidy package. My fear when I think about sharing my story is that people will not understand the cost of my faith. And that hurts, and that's hard. It feels like in order to share the work that God has done in my life, I have to start with the receipts of the pain and the loss and the fear and the heartache, which are a lot, both in emotional weight and just quantity of context. Or I derail the telling of my story by circling back and adding context, because it's like, if I tell you this puzzle piece, then I need to tell you why that puzzle piece is there and what that puzzle piece actually means. And then I tie myself in knots in the telling. I also worry that people will think that it's not a big deal. I personally am terminally capable of being just fine and carrying large burdens without really tipping my hand. So in some ways, I foster the image that it's all not a big deal. But it is a big deal. So my prayer is that you can gently hold my story and the storyteller in the light. When I told my sons that I'd be sharing my story, I asked them for suggestions as to what I should talk about, because obviously teenagers, right? So their responses were, how did my family feel about it? What are the differences in the ideology? Talk about the differences between Mormons and Christians, like the lesser known ones. They wanted like the weird and the nitty gritty. And then have some banger jokes and misspeak and make the church laugh if possible. So as far as my family, their feelings are theirs to tell, so I'll leave those questions to them. Regarding the ideology and the differences between the two religions, I only have 20 minutes, so if you have particular questions, you can hit me up at any time. I'll try for some humor, but no promises on the misspeaking, although I think we've already hit that a couple times just so far, so there we go, taking all the marks. In my 20th year, I left the faith of my birth, the Mormon Church, and chose to live my life as a Christian. Put another way, at 19, I looked straight into the face of a faith that told me that should I choose to leave, I have knowingly opted in for eternal punishment and ostracism. And I still left. If they turn out to be right, eternity will not be awesome for me. Apparently, there's much wailing, gnashing of teeth. It's referred to as outer darkness. It's not a real happy, kind of fun place. On a this side of death perspective, my leaving the LDS Church leveled relationships with my family of origin, only some of which have been rebuilt in the decades since. I continue to be treated differently by family members to this day. Looking back, had I known the cost at the outset, I sometimes wonder if my choices would have been different. But when I look back, I can also see that God's hand was there and it was moving me step by step along the journey. And I know that He knows the end from the beginning, and that I have never been alone, and that helps. I was born and raised Mormon, now more formally known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was part and parcel to all the rites and practices of the church, completing them on time, as expected, with a smile. My life was primed to be an object lesson on how to do and be all the things, except there was this recurring problem. I ask a lot of questions, and not small questions, like the big, hairy kind of deal-breaker questions. And my teen years were full of them happening on my inside voice and sometimes even in my outside voice. So that was kind of an ongoing thing Spoiler alert, still an asker of questions. Everything was ostensibly on track through high school, and college found me preparing to send my boyfriend of 5 years off on a mission. Perfect, right? That's how the picture's supposed to look. In a period of roughly 6 months, I walked through the sudden death of his father to cancer, him leaving on his mission, and then the loss of my musical mentor to a brain tumor, which was a lot as a 19-year-old turning 20. So this called for the best execution of all the best practices of everything that the church had to offer. I served, I prayed, I read, I studied, and I was present at all church functions. I gave my A-plus game, and it didn't work. I went to all the practices of the church couldn't help to fill the role, the hole that so many losses in a row left. And so I went to the bishop of the college church, and I was met with emptiness. There's this moment seared in my memory where I went in and just bore my heart of everything that was happening and how it was affecting me, and the look was, oh, I'm so sorry. And it was just like there was nothing there. And so like any good 20-year-old, I got mad and I left. Just left with no intention other than I was hurt, I was angry, I was confused, and I couldn't see putting more effort into that space as it was happening for me at that time. So when people hear that I'm an ex-Mormon, they often ask me what caused me to leave the church. Was it a book? Was it a phrase? Was it a conversation? Was it something, some experience? I had already spent most of my formative years holding court with Christian friends who were trying to explain to me how their faith was better or different, and I would explain to them how they didn't have the whole picture, because that is the perspective of the Mormon church. Evangelicalism and apologetics are often the go-to choices for changing a person's mind and their right of faith. But I didn't have any great sign or epiphany of understanding. I just got mad and left. But as I was leaving, God was already on the scene. All around me, there were friends in different pockets of my life who, unknown to me, were all Christians. And God was working through them. As I was having conversations and processing my hurt and my anger, they all kept saying the same thing. You should come to Chi Alpha. And I, for those of you that aren't familiar, Chi Alpha is a Christian fellowship from the Assemblies of God denomination. You should come to Chi Alpha. You should. And I would say, oh, I'm not shopping for a religion. This is not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about how I'm feeling. I'm not here for a religion, but thanks so much. But it kept coming up and kept coming up. And so finally I said, okay, here's the deal. If I go, will all of you shut up about this Chi Alpha thing? And then we can just go back to what we were doing, just talking about me. So I agreed to go to Chi Alpha. I walked into this small, dark, office-y room on campus with no expectations, and God was there. There was a presence of the Holy Spirit that was like oxygen in the room. Oxygen that had never been there before. It was tangible and it was palpable and it was real, and that is how God got a hold of me. I was so taken by the presence of God, the light, if you will, that I just kept coming back. I kept singing and being and participating and breathing. Eventually, like any relationship, I realized that this was becoming a thing and that I had to define it and figure out what actually this meant and what this was going to be as a part of my life. Hence the title of the talk. I was in my dorm room considering where I was going, what I had learned, and what all of it meant as a big package. And in that moment, Jesus met me. There's no burning bush, just me sitting on the edge of my bed in my dorm room. And Jesus and I had a little talk. And I have this very clear image of him. That I was standing on the edge of a cliff. Side note, it's really hard to find pictures of cliffs that just show you like a cliff. There was much searching of images to find this particular image. But I was standing on a cliff, like where the spot is in this picture. And everything I knew was behind me. My family was behind me. The Mormon church was behind me. All of the experiences that I had, everything that I had carried up until that point, was behind me in the trees and bushes on this cliff. Ahead of me, beyond the edge of the cliff, was Jesus, because he's the Son of God, right? So he gets to do whatever he wants. And I was standing there on the edge. The faith of God, the things that I experienced, the Holy Spirit, everything that I had recently found in my life was out there with Jesus in that possibility. And I looked around, and Jesus said, choose. Just choose. Step forward or step backward. Choose. And I'm cheeky. You'll notice I have a very dry sense of humor. And so my response was, you do realize that a step off a cliff is non-negotiable, right? And he smiled and he said, choose. And this moment is a moment that's really big and really small, all at the same time. And I don't know if that's from the context of the 20 years from here to there, or if it has always been that size. But there are three things that I knew for sure in that moment. First, I knew exactly what was behind me, and I knew what my life would look like if I continued on the path that I was on. And I knew that there was no life there. Second, I knew without a doubt that there was life in all of that stuff out there. I knew that God brought life, and I wanted to know more. Third, I knew that for me, without a doubt, this was a decision that I was not allowed to dabble in. This was a one-time decision, and that once it was done all the way in or all the way out. Family was behind, a holy question before me, and I chose to step forward. I wish that I could tell you that the story gets really rosy from here, and like everything was perfect from that point forward. But we've all been around long enough to know that life rarely moves in straight lines. Much to Dwayne's chagrin, my conversion process as it was did not follow any of the expected patterns. So if you've been to any of those Bible classes about how to make a Christian, there's a process, right? Knowledge becomes an epiphany becomes a deep knowing becomes a professing of the faith, right? If you're of a Pentecostal bent, there's this pattern of knowing and then conversion and then water baptism and then baptism in the Holy Spirit. I did none of these things in the order as expected. It was sort of a hopscotch. My path was my own. Along the way, we've attended Assemblies of God churches, Baptist churches, Foursquare churches, Vineyard, Nazarene, non-denominational. I have a soft spot for the liturgy, and now we're here amongst friends. And still, God is here, and I'm here. The road continues to be interesting, and God continues to walk with me. Some wish that my story had a great conversion of my family of origin, that everyone saw Jesus in me and had a great change of heart. But that's not how the story went. We live on two sides of an invisible line and have navigated an awkward dance for 20-odd years. For a long time, my parents thought it was a phase. For a long time, my parents thought Dwayne was a phase. We're still here. The LDS Church would tell you that the differences between the two religions are not so vast, and I would disagree. The language of the two religions are a funhouse of mirrors, and it's tricky sometimes. There are people involved, people that I love, and that makes it all just kind of complex. People have often asked me to proselyze either to their people or to my own people, and God has consistently said no. So I follow step by step as best I can in the ways that he asks, and follow where I see him moving. So 20 years later, having stepped off a cliff, here's what I know. And this is where Nate asked if I could find a way to see how this speaks to all of us, as opposed to just, is my story. First, there are moments and places where God asks us to step forward in a big way, where we can't see the path forward, and he will not let us fall, but he will look us straight in the eye and ask us to choose. He will love us regardless of what we do, and we can trust him. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." And I know that. Second, time can work a whole lot of things out, and God is always working in the meantime. Things that hurt a lot early on and things that used to be non-negotiable for me have softened. Other things that may have been flexible have been crystallized over time. But the timing has been God's all along the way, and I have wasted a lot of energy either trying to push my own agenda or trying to pull the sun faster across the sky. God is patient and can work things together despite my best efforts to fix things or my ugliest strivings to change things. And third, we can trust God to help us hold the complex and the ill-ordered. Right now, on a personal note, I am walking one sister through her exodus from the Mormon church. She's excited, she's scared, she's angry, and she's choosing a new path. I have another sister who is grieving the loss of that other sister from the Mormon faith because the Mormon faith defines her life and her choices, and it is her guidepost for everything that she does, and she's hurting. And it's really weird to hold both of those things at the same time. But God keeps showing up in the both and of this process. Both and God. While we may think we have things figured out, while we may think we understand how processes work, God is still in the business of creating, building new roads and ways. The God who made butterflies out of caterpillar goo has more options up his sleeve than I think we give him credit for sometimes. So, I have prepared a couple of queries for today. If they serve you, use them. If not, ditch them. It's cool with me. Where do you feel the Holy Spirit asking you to leave the familiar behind? Or where do you feel the Spirit asking you to step forward in faith? What are ways that you sense God's presence in the here and now? Where are the places that you've decided that the order that the story should go in? And what does God have to say about that? So we're going to move into open worship at this time. As the Spirit moves within you, if you have something that is for you, we invite you to take notice of that. If you have something that is for someone else, we invite you to share that. And if you have something that's for the good of the group, we invite you to share that with all of us. If you're here in the sanctuary, please stand and a microphone will be brought to you. If you're on Zoom, feel free to unmute and speak up.